Yuma, Perek Ches, Mishnah Beis, 8:2. The Mishnah will set forth the shiurim for which one is liable when it comes to both eating and drinking on Yom Kippurim. The Mishnah says, Ha'ochel kakoseves hagasa, if one eats the volume of a fat date, a large date, kamoa u chegarinesa, if it's both the volume of the date plus the pit inside the date, so then he'll be chayev, as far as eating goes. Now, it's a strange expression. The reason why it says the date and the pit is because in a date, there's oftentimes a gap between the pit and like an airspace between the pit and the flesh of the fruit itself. So one would have to squish that out. One wouldn't include that airspace. In any case, this volume, the volume of a date, which is a little bit less than a beitza, an egg's volume, is the amount for which one is chayiv. Now, normally the rule is that when it comes to isurei achila, things that are forbidden to eat, the shiur is always a kazayas, an olives amount. The reason why it's different over here is because the Torah never says don't eat, specifically achila, don't mention of eating that one may not do on Yom Kippur. Rather, it says a lashon of inui. It says, ki chol hanefesh asher lo su'uneh, any person who isn't afflicted. So the inui, the affliction, Chazal understood to indicate a different amount. And in the case we see here, it's the amount of the volume of a large date. The reason why, and that's bigger than a kazayas, the reason why is because it's not just about eating. It's about assuaging your inui, your affliction. And Chazal understood that if one ate just a kazayas alone, that wouldn't actually make him any more satisfied or less hungry or less suffering, and therefore the requisite shiur is this larger amount, the large date, the kokosevis, and ucharinesa. I don't know, I'm saying that we're having a hard time saying that word. It's ucharinesa. A garin is a seed. Okay. And vahashose, as far as drinking goes, it's malo lugmav. It's the a cheekful. That is to say that if one drinks the amount of liquid, that if he would put it in his mouth and push it to one side, it would like make his cheek bulge out. That is the shear of Mlo Lugmav, which one would be chayev for. And again, the normal, when it comes to drinking, the normal shiur is a revius, a quarter of a lug, whatever that works out to, the size of a kiddush cup, let's call it. But that's not the case over here. Again, for the same reason, it's not about eating or drinking per se, but about assuaging your inu, your affliction, and the Chazal understood that it's the amount that would fill one cheek of a person, which would impact and make him feel, you know, less thirsty. Anything less would just be like a sip that has no impact on his thirst. Now, this shiur is unusual in as much as it's variable. It depends on how big a person's mouth and cheeks are. And a bigger person with bigger mouth, bigger cheeks would be have a higher threshold of what Malolugmov is. Whatever the case is, Malolugmav is certainly less than a revius. It's not clear how much less. Some understand that it's the majority revius. Some even don't say that. So it depends on each person. And in those two cases, one would be chayev, meaning one ate the volume of a kosevas agasa and the garin. Or if he drank a Malolugmav, then he would be chayev. What's chayev? So if it's the case of intentional, mazid, then he'd be liable to the penalty of kares or malchus, lashes, depending whether witnesses or not. And if he did a b'shogeg, he forgot it was Yom Kippur, for example, that you can't eat on Yom Kippur, so then he would be chayev achatas, bring a korban chatas. The Mishnah continues, and it's, the halacha is that even, and this is actually really important because I think people miss this halacha l'maisa, the halacha is that if you eat less than the requisite shear, you will not be chayev, meaning you're not subject to those severe penalties, God forbid, but it's still forbidden. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that chatzi shear is asar min haTorah, that if you eat anything, even a smallest amount, the Torah forbids that. The Torah's not allowing you to eat on Yom Kippur. It's just that the threshold for liability is, as we set forth before. But if you eat any amount, or drink any amount, a tiny sip of water, that's totally forbidden midoraisa on Yom Kippur. Now, this has an importance in nafkamina, which is for someone who is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and I want to say that again, it's someone for whom there is actually a possibility, even if it's a very remote possibility, but a possibility that the consequences, ultimately, for refraining from eating or drinking in Yom Kippur, could possibly lead to their premature death. So then they're supposed to now not fast and eat or drink, as or both, as the case may be, depending on what is advised by the doctor, etc. We'll see more about that later on. Now, once one is a chola sheyesh bo sakana and he's going to be eating or drinking Yom Kippur, that doesn't mean that he should necessarily eat and drink to his heart's content. That will depend on what the doctors say. If it's possible, he can eat or drink in what are called shiurim, meaning, which is a colloquialism referring to eating less than the shiur set forth in our Mishnah, that would certainly be better. It's certainly better to drink, you know, less than one cheekful of water every 10 minutes throughout Yom Kippur than to eat more than a cheekful, drink more than a cheekful in one gulp, for sure. So, because you wouldn't hit that threshold of the more severe penalty. And therefore, if it is practicable and if it is prudent, and if drinking just less than a melolugma of every, let's call it 10 minutes, or whatever the doctors and the rabbi set forth, is going to be sufficient to ensure there's no longer any even suffic pukach nefesh, that's certainly preferred. But let me emphasize this again and again and again, please, because it's super important. There's a penalty of karas on the line over here. Someone who's not a even suffic pukach nefesh situation, so like say a pregnant woman under normal circumstances in the middle of her term and so on. So if she's going to be drinking, that's going to be an Isra Doraisa, and she's not entitled to drink until her doctor and or her rabbi have confirmed that there's a suffic pukach nefesh situation over here. Less than that, it's just forbidden. It's Isra Asr Medoraisa, and if it means you're going to suffer terribly over Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat or drink in any amount, however small. Okay. The Mishnah continues and says, Kola ha'achalin mitzdarfin l'kukoseves. All food is mitzdaref. It combines to reach the shear of a koseves, the fat date, which means if you eat, you know, I don't know what, half a date volume of beans and half a date volume of rice together, that reaches a full volume of a full date, and one would be liable for such an act. V'cholam mashkin mitzdarfin l'molugmav. And the same goes when it comes to drinks. If you drink half a molugmav of water and half a molugmav of wine on Yom Kippur, again, they mitzaref, they combine to reach the threshold of culpability. However, ha'ochel v'shosa ein mitzdarfin. If one eats and drinks each less than the amount, one eats less than a fat date, a volume of food, and drinks less than a molugmav cheekful of liquid, those do not combine together to make him culpable, even though the iser, the prohibition of is learned out from the verses which require afflictions. It's one verse that implicates both eating and drinking. Still, Chazal understand that there's a difference between hunger and thirst, and if you eat less than the two amounts that would assuage either your hunger or your thirst, you're still hungry and still thirsty, you're still afflicted, and therefore they're not mitzaref, that the food and the drink don't combine to reach the level of one being culpable for the various penalties as applicable for these things.